All right, we're going to look at John chapter 6, verse 51 and following, selected verses from this passage of Scripture. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In verse 59, these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Of the living God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these words. And Jesus says that his words are spirit and they are life. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here that does not yet know Christ as Savior, that your words would bring life to their heart, life to their soul. And I pray if there's anyone here that's not been faithfully following Jesus, that today, hearing this message, will cause them to faithfully follow Jesus. Strengthen our resolve to be committed disciples of Jesus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin the message by asking you a question. Are you a committed follower of Jesus Christ? I would say most in this room certainly would say that you're a Christian, that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, but are you a committed follower? No matter what happens, no matter what others do, you will follow Jesus Christ. Well, there are some in our text of Scripture that prove themselves to be committed followers of Jesus Christ. But there were others in our text of Scripture who demonstrated that though they professed to be disciples, they were not true disciples, because they quit following Jesus. And the question for us is, what kind of disciple are you? Are you one of the fickle disciples, or are you a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, I hope by the end of this message, you will be committed to becoming a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at these two kinds of disciples this morning, I want to share, first of all, the question, are you among the fickle disciples that we read about here in this text of Scripture? Before you can correct a problem, you need to recognize a problem. You need to recognize your own level of discipleship. And if it is anything less than being a fully committed disciple of Jesus Christ, and I hope today you will become a committed disciple of Jesus. But what are some of the characteristics of the fickle disciples of Jesus. Well, they are indeed attracted to Jesus. There are lots of people who say they believe in Jesus. There's lots of people who say they follow Jesus. And there's a lot of people that are attracted to Jesus Christ. And when are they attracted to Jesus? They're attracted to Jesus when He's popular with the people. In verse 10, we read about the fact that 5,000 men, not including women and children, went all the way to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to find Jesus, to see His miracles, to hear Him teach. Folks, He was very popular in Galilee at this particular time. You know, there was a time when in our country, it was very popular to follow Jesus. Going to church was just the thing that most people did, and most people followed Jesus. And then after September 11th, the terrorist attack, you may remember that it became very popular to be in church. Our churches were filled. But how long did that last? Maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And then I think of those who come to church and follow Christ when it's popular, like this popular to go to church on Easter. It's popular to go to church on Christmas. Do you follow Jesus just when it seems to be the thing to do, when it seems to be popular? Well, that's the way it was with these individuals. And then people are attracted to Jesus when food is provided. In verse 24, we read that this was certainly the case. In verse 24, this crowd of people that had been fed there in the wilderness, it says that they came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Now, why were they seeking Jesus? Well, Jesus Himself tells us in verse 26, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You do not seek Me because that miracle convinced you that I'm the Messiah, but you seek Me because you're looking for the next meal. You're looking for Me to feed you again." Oh yes, there are people who will come and profess Christ and follow Christ as long as they're getting something out of it. You know, when we have meals here at the church, the attendance tends to go up a little bit. And people, there's nothing wrong with that. We enjoy to eat. We enjoy fellowship around the table. And if we give free meals to people in the community, then there'll certainly be people come out for that free meal. But we see here an illustration of the fact that feeding people alone does not make disciples, because these people who were fed did not remain disciples, as Jesus made it clear that the food would not continue to flow to them. Real disciples of Jesus are not looking for physical food, they're looking for spiritual food. And then people are attracted to Jesus when they believe that He offers them a better earthly life. In verse 15, we read that this crowd tried to take Jesus by force and make Him their king. Why did they want Jesus to become their king? Well, it is because they thought a man that could do miracles like this could set us free from Roman oppression and Roman bondage. They were wanting a king who would make their earthly life better. So Jesus was very popular with the people. But you know, you gotta be more than just attracted to Jesus because of earthly considerations to become a true disciple of Jesus. Another characteristic of fickle disciples is this, that they become offended. They became offended at what Jesus had to say. In verse 51, for example, He said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is My flesh, which I give for the life of the world." And notice how they responded to what Jesus just said. Verse 52, The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then if that caused some difficulty, wait until you get to verse 53 to verse 57, where in every verse he mentions, you must also drink my blood. Well, that offended them. That caused them to be scandalized by what Jesus said, because according to Jewish law, God prohibited the drinking of blood. And so they became offended at what Jesus had to say. And yet the problem was this. They didn't recognize that Jesus was using an analogy. He wasn't intending to speak literally of eating his flesh or of drinking his blood. Jesus constantly used analogies, using earthly illustrations to teach heavenly truth. And he was just trying to get across to them, as we'll talk more later, that he is the source of life and you must receive him by faith. You must assimilate him into your life if you're going to have eternal life. But they became offended by his words. You see, sometimes we get offended by what we hear without trying to understand what the person was really trying to say. And that leads me to a question. Are you the type of person that becomes easily offended? Have you ever been offended? I think we all have at some time in our life. Sometimes we're offended perhaps all too often. But you know, when you're offended, you need to do what the disciples should have done and try to understand better what Jesus was really saying. When you're offended, you need to find out what the preacher really meant by what you thought you heard him say. Or some church member says something to you and you get offended by what they say without even bothering to discuss it with them and try to clarify what they really meant. Listen, people are offended by the truth of the Word of God at times. I've been in the ministry 40 years and I've seen people come and go, and sometimes they go because they hear something they don't like. Something that they don't want to believe. Those who are not true disciples of Jesus are offended sometimes either because of their own misunderstanding or because they don't like the truth of the Word of God that they're hearing. But another characteristic of fickle disciples is this: they forsake Christ and quit following Him. Oh yes, there have been many people who have walked an aisle and prayed to receive Christ and professed their faith and been baptized, but there have been also many of those same people who after a few weeks or after a few months or perhaps a year or two, you don't see them anymore. And notice what happens in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Here were some disciples. They had been following Jesus for weeks, perhaps months. They had followed him all the way to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Some of them gave up their jobs to follow Jesus, and then all of a sudden, because of what Jesus says here in chapter 6, because of their misunderstanding, they quit following Him. And why is that? Verse 64, there are some of you who do not believe. They didn't believe to begin with. And people who quit following Jesus oftentimes are people who were never truly saved to begin with. And Jesus warns about these kind of folk. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, he says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. It actually indicates in verse 66, they went back to the things. They went back to their former life, their former occupation, their former possessions that they had forsaken to follow Jesus. And even so, Jesus uses similar language of those who are looking back to the things they used to love. Jesus says, you're not fit for the kingdom of God if you look back. Jesus is looking for disciples who will follow Him and keep following Him no matter what. And furthermore, 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. He's talking about people who went after the false teachers and the cults. True disciples of Jesus keep following Jesus. Now I realize relationship to a particular local church is not necessarily a barometer of your commitment to Jesus. But I will say this, our church has over 670 members on roll, and almost 200 of those have moved away, and as far as we know, have not joined another church. We have 181 who are on our inactive roll, local people who are on our inactive roll, because they have completely dropped out of our church. I can't say that, God knows their heart, and God knows which of those 181 are true believers or not, but too many of them may fall into the category of verse 66, where they have turned back and quit following Jesus. They're fickle disciples. They're not faithful disciples. Are you a faithful disciple, or are you a little bit more like the kind of disciples that turn back and walk with Jesus no more? Well, I want to challenge you to be a faithful disciple. And we're going to see some of the characteristics of the faithful disciples that are indicated right here in chapter 6. First of all, faithful disciples do not turn away from Jesus. After this large group of disciples went back and quit following Jesus, and there was a relatively small group that stayed behind, Jesus said to them in verse 67, "Do you also want to go away?" I can imagine He almost said that with a sadness in His voice, maybe a tear in His eye. But actually, original Greek indicates more like, you don't want to go away, do you? He knew their heart. True disciples do not turn away from Jesus. They remain faithful to Jesus, just like the core group of the disciples did here. But I want to ask you, if Jesus asked you the same question in verse 67, do you also want to go away? Now, He may not ask that question at this moment, but there may be a moment in your future where Jesus will ask that question. And let me give you some examples. True disciples of Jesus are faithful in spite of false teachers. The Bible warns in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away from the truth. The Apostle Paul warned of a day, especially in the last days, when people will not be interested in hearing the sound doctrines from the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God, but they will go after other teachers who will tell them what they want to hear, pleasant things. Little religious pep talks that make them feel better about themselves, sprinkled with scriptures here and there. And when people turn away after these false teachers, Jesus is there asking them, will you go away? Are you going to go away? Are you going to stop being faithful to Me? And then there are those who turn away from Christ. There are those who turn away because of worldly pleasure. Jesus told the parable of the sower. And He said that some folks are like seed that is planted on soil where the pleasures of life choke out the spiritual fruitfulness in their lives. The Apostle Paul also warned that in the last days men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul talked about Demas, who has forsaken me, having loved this present world. I tell you what, there's a lot of attractions in this old world. There's a lot of pleasures in this old world. Many of them sinful pleasures. And there are those that are going to be drawn and attracted to those, and they're going to quit following Jesus in pursuit of these sinful and worldly pleasures. Will you be among those? True disciples of Jesus follow Jesus in spite of worldly pleasures. And true disciples of Jesus follow Him in spite of trials and tribulations in life. Again, the parable of the sower talks about some of the seed that follows in shallow, rocky soil. And the life springs up and everything looks great. But when the heat of persecution, when the heat of trials and troubles come their way, then they wither and they are no longer following Jesus Christ. They never really become fruitful in their lives. Yes, when trouble comes your way, when trials and difficulties come your way, will you get offended that God allowed this into your life? Will you get upset and decide, well, you know, this is just not for me. I'm going to quit following Jesus. I think in our library we still have a Billy Graham movie called The Ride. And it's the story of a 12-year-old boy who got cancer. And he was being treated for cancer. And he was in a boys' home, a ranch for boys. And he wanted a wish to be granted. He wanted to learn how to ride a bull. And so they didn't have anybody that could teach this boy to ride a bull. So they got the word out. And there was a guy that got into trouble, a washed-up bull rider, who had to do some community service, and so they sent him to this ranch for boys, and he was going to teach this boy how to ride a bull. And when he got to meet the boy and got to hear the story of the boy, he said this, "I can't get with a God who would allow something like this to happen to a 12-year-old boy." Well, the boy witnessed to that man, and his faith was just so vibrant. And at one point in the movie, the boy said, "You know, it's like bull riding. It's not so much how long you ride, but how well you ride." And the boy ended up dying. He didn't live long, but he lived well for Jesus and was faithful to the very end. And because of his life and because of his testimony, that bull rider gave his heart to Jesus Christ. When you lose your job, Jesus asks you, will you turn away? When you lose your child in death, Jesus asks you, will you turn away from me? When your spouse walks out on you, Jesus asks you, will you continue to follow me or will you turn away from me? True disciples of Jesus are faithful to Jesus and do not turn away from Jesus. But a second characteristic of the faithful followers of Jesus is this. They recognize the emptiness of others. When Jesus asked them, "Are you going to turn away?" He says in verse 68, "Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? There's no one else we can turn to who can give us eternal life. There's no one else we can turn to who can give us forgiveness of sins. There's no one else we can turn to who satisfies the deepest longings of our soul." The faithful disciples of Jesus, when we're tempted by the world, we recognize that the world has nothing to offer over Jesus. When the cults and the false religions and the false teachers make their appeal to us. We recognize that they have nothing to offer. Jesus is the one that we are going to faithfully follow. And furthermore, faithful disciples of Jesus recognize that true life is only found in Jesus. Peter goes on to say in verse 68, "You have the words of eternal life." Lord, if we're going to have eternal life, it's only coming through You. And as we look in the context, we see the fact that Christ is the true source of eternal life. If you look at verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst." Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Spiritually, He is the bread of life. Just as bread sustains our physical life, even so, Jesus is saying, "I am the source of spiritual life." He is the source of true life. And we also see how Christ makes it possible for us to have eternal life. Look at verse 51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give is My flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Jesus says, when I talk about eating My flesh, what I'm saying is, I am going to give My flesh for you. I'm going to suffer and die on a cross for you. He says, "You must drink My blood because I'm going to shed My blood for you." Jesus Christ is saying, "I am going to give My life. I'm going to shed My blood as a sacrifice in order for you to be forgiven, in order for you to have eternal life." Life comes through Me and only through Me. My death brings your life. I want you to think about this at lunch today. I don't want to ruin your lunch, but when you eat that chicken died so you can live, right? If you eat that steak today or hamburger, that cow died. And the Chick-fil-A cow says, eat chicken, you know. It died so that you can live. And those of you that are vegetarians, remember that plant died for you. That broccoli died for you. That wheat died for you. Listen, food transfers life from one aspect of creation to us. And that's the analogy that Jesus is saying, "I'm going to die for you that you may have not physical life, but eternal life." Jesus is the source of true life. There's no one else to turn to. And then furthermore, Christ has the words of life, as He says there in verse 68. "To whom shall we go? You have the words of life." You have the words of life. You see, not only did Jesus die on a cross and shed His blood that you might have eternal life, but just because He died on the cross, just because He shed His blood, doesn't mean that you're saved, that you have eternal life, because there's two other steps. First of all, you've got to hear the gospel. Romans says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of life. And Jesus says in verse 63, "The words that I speak are spirit and they are life." The Word of God is how God imparts life into you. As you hear the Word of God, as you believe the Word of God, life is created within you. You have eternal life. Yeah, Jesus is the only source of true life. He has the words of life. If you're not saved, listen, you need to keep listening to Jesus. You need to keep reading His words. You need to keep coming to a church where the Word of God is preached, because that's the only way you're going to be saved, is to hear the words of life. And those of us that are Christians need to keep reading the Word, keep learning the Word, because that is how we are strengthened. But you know, Jesus says you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. He's not speaking literally. He's using an analogy. He's using a figure of speech that just as you eat bread and just as you drink in order that you have life, even so, you've got to receive Jesus as your Savior by faith. You've got to take Him personally by faith if you're going to be saved. And so faithful disciples of Jesus recognize that true life is found only in Jesus. And finally, faithful disciples will always affirm Christ as Savior and Lord. If you look at verse 69, Peter also says, "We have come to believe and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's what Peter confessed at Caesarea Philippi, those very words. But our oldest Greek manuscripts indicate that what Peter actually said here is, "You are the Holy One of God." The Holy One, the One who is holy, set apart for a special mission. He's basically confessing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior that God promised to send. He confessed his faith in Jesus Christ. And true disciples of Jesus will confess their faith in Jesus Christ. That is why we insist upon that. A confession of your faith as a condition of membership, because it is absolutely essential that we confess our faith in Jesus, and true disciples will do that. But I want you to note something that's not so clear in the English. When he says, "We believe and know," he's using the perfect tense in Greek, which indicates something that is settled with abiding results. We have come to believe, we have come to know, and we are absolutely convinced that You are the Holy One of God. The Bible warns of apostasy. And we're living, folks, in the last days, and I'm seeing apostasy right before our eyes. People are turning away from the Lord. This country is turning away from the Lord. We can hardly recognize our country anymore. And there is a torrent against Christianity that's taken place in our country and in our world. And I hope you will join me in being among those who say, regardless of what everybody else does, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Are you persuaded that Jesus is the only way to have eternal life, that He is the Son of God? It's a settled conviction. That's the way it is with true disciples. And I pray that is the way it is with you. So the question is, what kind of disciple are you? Are you among the fickle disciples, or are you a faithful disciple? I pray that you will join me in being among the faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the words of Jesus. They are truly spirit and they are life. I thank You that I heard the gospel many years ago, and by the power of the Word and the power of Your Holy Spirit, I was saved. And many could testify to the same thing this morning. And I pray if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't yet know Christ as Savior, hasn't yet received Christ as their Savior, that today they would receive Christ, having heard what Christ did for them. Lord, help them to receive Christ as their Savior today. Or if there's someone who has received Christ but hasn't publicly confessed it and followed Jesus in baptism, we pray they will do that today. We pray, Lord, that You would help each of us who are professing Christians to be not fickle disciples, but faithful disciples. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to give an invitation.